This is a Hip Hop African Podcast, a show that features interviews and discussions on African hip hop culture and artists. The show is produced in the Department of African Studies at Howard University in Washington, D.C. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, or catch us on our website, hiphopafrican.com.
A true player doesn't try so hard.
Y'all look thug, but you sing and you rap softly. Too busy fronting 360 and back off the extremists. Either you love, hate, at me, or block me. I'm taking sips of Panda Poutine and Civic Coffee. I'm a boss B. Stop beef and meet a bad ending. Stop pretending. You're dealing with some skilled hackers. I reveal rappers right before I kill rappers.
All got started way back when.
Reminiscing in a dark room over some Jack D. Feels like I'm floating adrift on the Black Sea. Thoughts running on my mind like a track me, tracing it back to when the art form was fresh, y'all. Yes, y'all. Shout out to Grandmaster Kaz. Salute. Only the real heads know the truth. In the booth, cold crush and Curtis Blow. Damaging the microphone and rocking every show. B-boy spinning on the
paper. Welcome back to the Hip Hop African Podcast. Today we are talking with Mode 9, who is a legendary Nigerian MC. He is also one of the pioneering figures of hip-hop in Nigeria. While he released his first studio album in 2004, his career actually began in the 1990s. Since then, he has released over 10 albums and mixtapes. His most recent project is the album Esoteric Mellow, an album he did with Nigerian producer Techzilla. The album is available online. We're going to have the details on how to purchase the album in the show notes. So Mode 9 currently lives in England, and I am happy he was able to make some time to talk with me for this episode. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so like you mentioned briefly that you had recorded music prior to the first studio album, Malcolm IX.
Yeah.
So when did you actually start writing rhymes?
Wow. I used to freestyle back in the day, but when I first started listening to hip hop, I loved it so much I could recite other people's rhymes, but when it came to writing my rhymes, they kind of sounded whack. But I sounded better freestyling. But the first time I ever wrote a rap, it should have been in the early 90s, and it was a horrible rap. Was terrible, but I could freestyle quite well. So I used to do this one freestyle over and over again. It just became something that I was used to doing. Like, it almost sounded like a rhythm because I repeated it over and over again. But first rap that I wrote should be in like early 90s, maybe 92. First official rap that I wrote and I learned, 92. It should be 92.
Okay, so then what would you date the beginning of like hip hop in Nigeria, meaning the beginning when Nigerians started producing their own hip hop music? When would that be?
Nigerians have been doing hip hop way before I actually came on the scene. There were people doing it before me. There was Nigeria is really big, so there was the North, people doing their stuff in the North. At first, we down Lagos, we didn't even think people up north were rhyming until when I went to school. I went to school in the Middle Belt. And in the Middle Belt, we have people from the north, people from the west, everywhere in the south. So I now realized one thing, that the people up north, they were kind of advanced when it came to, especially people in Jos. They were kind of advanced when it came to rhyming. And, they could rhyme a bit better than people from the west. So Nigerians have been rhyming for quite a while. Like, I used to see some shows on TV then when I wasn't fully out as a young teenager. Mm. And yeah, people were always rapping because it was like an in thing.
Okay, so you now were born in England, but you came, I was reading online, back to Nigeria in your preteens, like around, was it 11, 12 years old?
No, I was actually 7. Don't believe anything you hear like that. maybe just, I don't know where they get all their stories from. I was 7 when I came back.
Okay.
And there wasn't any rhyming. I didn't even know of any, like when I was a kid, we just used to listen to my dad's records.
Mm.
Yeah, I not only got influenced by hip hop, but I was already listening to something close to rap. Mm-hmm. And closest thing is our cousin, reggae.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, when we have the dub, Yellow Man and co, yeah.
So your exposure to hip-hop, was it mainly based on listening to Nigerian artists or artists from overseas?
No, back then in Nigeria, we used to watch a lot of foreign shows. So, and then I had a big sister and a big brother. And I remember when my big brother brought back a vinyl. I think it was Curtis Blow.
Mm.
Yes. He brought it back from school. Him and his friend, they used to swap vinyls. And we had a lot of nondescript music, like just funny stuff. So he would take a couple to school, and then his friend would give him some. So he brought that Curtis Blow. But before then, my big sister, she was heavily into music. So she used to talk about stuff. And then one of the first raps I actually heard and I actually learned was, if you think you got a groove, Dynasty's got the kind of groove. Oh, this is Groove Control, Dynasty.
Oh, and
they weren't even a rap group. But back then, a lot of disco pop groups, Dynasty, Sky, and all these guys, the Whispers, they would put a little rap, just like an 8-bar rap. And I would just love that 8-bar rap. In the rock, nowhere to hide. Know what you put it up inside. You never gain from telling lies. The truth is, like, the Whispers, they had some crazy, just little raps, you know?
Yeah.
Inside. So that was what used to inspire me before my brother brought home the vinyl. And when he brought back the vinyl, I listened to it over and over again. I even almost destroyed the needle listening to a track called AJ Scratch.
Wow.
The DJ would just scratch it. I thought that, well, I could scratch it out. I almost destroyed the needle. So yeah, that's how
Wait a minute. You actually tried scratching? Like you were like...
Yes, I actually tried to scratch.
Wow. Okay.
And I almost destroyed the needle.
Did you get in trouble with your brother?
Of course. No, not with my brother. My mom.
Ah, okay.
She was mad. But, you know, at that time, like, hip-hop was kind of new to me. And it was like, it was one thing that just made me excited. Like, you know, the person who could go to school and recite even half a verse was king that day.
Mm.
Yeah. Because not many people could rap. Mm-hmm. So it's just good. They're like, oh, that guy can rap. And you don't even have to have your own raps. You can rap somebody else's rap. And they'll be like, wow.
Okay, yeah. So I noticed a lot of your, pretty much most of what I've heard from you is in English. But yes. Have you ever incorporated any other languages into your rhyming?
I put my best foot forward when it comes to rhyming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in English.
Okay.
You know, I was brought up, it's the way I was brought up. I was brought up in UK. And so, like, I've just, like, I've always had that one pattern, you know, thinking in English and everything. Mm-hmm. But I did a song some years ago. It's called Dubale, where I rapped in Pidgin English. It means prostrate.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that means it's kind of like a sign of respect when you see someone older than you or somebody, like your king, someone greater than you, you prostrate. You to greet the person, you lie down.
Yeah, you know? Okay.
Yeah, that's the African way. So yeah, I did that song some years ago. But the first song that I did that I rapped in Pidgin English, actually in 1999, 20 years ago, my CEO then, he used to say, oh, you can't rap in Pidgin English. Oh, you can't rap. So then he came to Lagos and I told him, hey, I have a Pidgin English rap. And I rapped it for him. It was your crew step to my crew. Una go bow, catch you in the corner, slap you, make you holla. Ow! So when he heard it, that was the corner. That was the chorus of the song, your crew step to my crew, una go bow. That means kind of like, it's almost similar to Dubale.
Yeah.
So when he heard it, he was like, wow, that sounds nice. So later on that year, I recorded that song. People liked it. They loved it because it was different. But a lot of people said, oh, you sold out because I rapped in Pidgin English.
Okay. So one of the things I do, again, reading stuff online, I read one article that basically, you know, really kind of described your style in terms of the classic boom bop style in terms of hip hop. And I was on the latest album project you have with Tekzilla. I know there's a song on there, Journey of an Art Form, which is kind of like this tribute to old school hip hop artists. Then what are your views on kind of the direction that hip hop has gone? I mean, even especially in Nigeria, I mean, you have like the whole trap music scene and everything. So how has hip hop in Nigeria changed over the years?
You know, I've been away from Nigeria for a little while now, but, you know, every now and then I listen. But the thing is, we still have boys that, you know, go in and really try to rap. Mm-hmm. We have young cats like there's a guy called Paperboy Corleone. There's another guy called Boogie. We have people like people who have been doing it for as long as I've been doing it. People like Terry the Rap Man, people like Overdose, people like Ferocious. I mean, these guys have always been rapping, but once in a while, because, you know, they have to make their music commercial enough to sell, because in Nigeria, if you're to do that straight up rap and everything, you're trying to get shows, you're trying to, you know, break into the mainstream, you need to kind of do everything. So a lot of these guys are mixing it up, and then they're creating the balance. Like me doing an album in Nigeria is different from me doing an album when I'm here, I'm free, I can do whatever I want. In Nigeria, I want it to hit radio, I want TV stations to play just because they like it, because it has that commercial viability. I want them to play it because it sounds close to home, something that they can vibe to. I don't want to go over their heads too much. So, yeah, there are people that do mix it up and do it very well, people who can actually rap, but then they're also people who do that, you know, the new type of hip hop, like in America, a lot of American rappers now, what do they have? Yeah, you see them with the colored dreads and the tattoos on their face, then drinking lean, and then we have people who copy, do that too. Mm-hmm. We have people who do that, but fortunately for me, I don't really know any of them by name, because I don't really listen to music I don't understand.
Yeah.
And then we also have the rappers who rap in vernacular, straight up vernacular. Mm-hmm. Some of them are really good, you know, but, you know, they, but if you don't understand that language, it's kind of limited, because it's only those that really understand what they're saying will get it. And that's a very little percentage, even in the whole country, Nigeria, not everybody speaks one language. We have different, we have more than 1,000 languages in Nigeria, but 3 major languages, Igbo, Hausa, and Yoruba, you know?
So let me ask this, because one of the questions I sometimes get asked is, in terms of writing about hip hop in Africa, why don't I focus a lot more on Nigeria, given the size of Nigeria? Like, Nigeria's, you know, the population, largest population in Africa, and Nigerians are literally everywhere. You cannot find a country where there are not Nigerians. So, but one of the hardest things has been really kind of trying to find out what's happening in the hip hop scene. So my question is, why isn't hip hop, Nigerian hip hop or Nigerian MCs, why aren't they kind of more known internationally?
The reason is because, first of all, if you want me to, I don't want to sugarcoat it. I want to just tell the truth.
Yeah, please.
You know, people in Nigeria, actually, they have this thing in their DNA, embedded in their DNA, deep in their DNA, and it tells them Nigerians shouldn't rap. Nigerians can never rap better than Americans. That's what it has. It, like, most of the guys that I've met over the years, like in advert agencies, I'm talking about real proper industry guys and everything, they always try to discourage me and say, oh man, are you rapping in English? You know, why don't you sing? They always, Nigerians always believe that if you sing, you have a better chance, you know? That everybody say, oh man, why is it that, like, you should just come, just do one song and just sing. I was like, man, but I'm not a singer, you know? So they just have this disbelief. They like, but the funny thing is, we actually have a lot of incredible rappers, a lot of little scenes, little shows, little events that, you know, showcase rappers. And, you know, cyphering is really big. All these, the BET cypher back then that we did in 2011. From that BET Cypher. Nigerians fell in love with doing cyphers. Every year they'll call, oh, let's do this. Hennessy Cypher, this one Cypher, that Cypher. So it's not as if they don't like hip-hop. It's that the people in the industry, you know, the people that were supposed to push our rappers out, they were the ones holding the rappers down and then bringing the singers up.
Yeah.
Yeah, the industry is terrible. No good for rap. No good.
And so what about other elements of hip-hop in terms of graffiti, breakdancing? Were those ever kind of really big? I know you mentioned in terms of the graffiti, if you could kind of like, yeah, go back to...
You know what? Nigerians like hip-hop, mm-hmm. right? Especially in Jos. Mm. That's the middle belt, like I said. They love hip-hop. Like, you go to Jos, you see kids, you know, they spraying the walls. Even in Lagos, they love hip-hop. They love hip-hop in Nigeria, right? They do love it, but it is not mainstream. I'm talking about real hip-hop. Mm-hmm. They love it, but it's very watered down. It's not like in Senegal. Like, if you talk about hip-hop and you say Senegal, like, they know their onions. There's hip-hop in Senegal. There's hip-hop in South Africa. Like, I've been to South Africa several times. I've seen the scene. There's hip-hop in Kenya. Let me give you a story. And I'm going to call names because I'm not going to hold back this time. I'm like, I promised myself that I'll tell this story one day, and this is the right platform for me to tell this story. Now, I was doing a little work for the British Council. They started this thing called WAPI. And the guy that started WAPI is Kenya, Buddha Blaze. He flew to Nigeria a couple of times. You know, we kicked it. We did the WAPI thing, did some rhyming and everything. I was the one coordinating the rap segment, you know. I was working for the British Council because he wanted me to do it. And there was a day he called me and I was like, yo, Craig G from the Juice Crew, legendary Juice Crew, is in Kenya. And he wants to come to Nigeria. Tell the British Council they should hook it up for WAPI. And all you need is just $20,000. I mean, for a legend like Craig G to come and talk to the people, not only rap, talk to the people. He's probably definitely going to talk about hip-hop, a little symposium, and he's going to perform for just 20 grand, 20 USD, 20,000 US dollars. I mean, that's just like, So I called the British Council girl, her name, Ojoma. Mm-hmm. I just mentioned the name, yeah. And guess what she said?
What?
She was like, oh, you started with your hip-hop again. Oh, who is that? I don't know him. $20,000, we don't have money.
Wow.
So I called Buddha Blaze and I was like, yo, this is what she said. And he was like, man, I can't believe it. I mean, this is an example of what I was facing. Like, you can see the problems that we're going through. Like, it's not, people just need to learn. And the thing is, the corporate organizations, they don't really support people who do that real hip hop. And to make matters worse, people who do the watered-down commercial hip-hop, you know, a lot of them are very influential. So they kind of, like, block the way for those doing real hip-hop, too.
Oof.
There's a lot of backbiting and, you know, terrible, you know, blocking going on. Like, I've been blocked for several shows, several times, uncountable times, been blocked. Like, it's almost like it got me feeling at one point in time, like, these people just don't want me to do nothing, you know, but it's just my resilient nature. I just continued putting out music, whether they play or not, whether TV play my videos or not, whether they do it, whether they play it or not. But radio, kind of like, I had a couple of people, because I worked on radio for a bit, so I had a couple of people that used to play my songs on radio. So I used to get a little bit of love, just a little, some light love on radio. You know, but putting out Esoteric Mellow, the thing is that the real fans have always existed. Like, the only reason why I didn't stop making music was because of my real fans. We've talked about the negative, but now let's focus on the positive. The real fans, and believe it or not, Nigeria, we have some of the most gulliest hip-hop heads in Nigeria. Trust me, they're people who really know their onions. Like, there's some radio, I can mention a radio personality. His name is Loknan Dombin. He's in Rhythm. He's the station he works for is a Rhythm 93.7 Port Harcourt. They have a show called Rap Culture. Jesus, the kind of music they play. Wow. Like some Lost Emperor, some Wu-Tang, some Mobb Deep. That is like the realest. That like when I went to Port Harcourt some years ago, I was just getting into town and I told the taxi guy to put the radio on and I was just hearing some hardcore hip hop. It was Rap Culture.
Wow.
Yeah. We have people all over the country, radio personalities who do their best. And there's another guy called Razy. Mm-hmm. He does the Rap Culture in Lagos. Okay. Now, he just did a show, a hip-hop show. Razy's doing, he's a young cat. He's doing his best, you know, to keep that hip-hop vibe alive, you know, on radio. But it's just, he's in Lagos, one person. The rest of the guys, you know, when you have some halfway hip-hop guys mm-hmm. that are not really hip-hop, but they try to do something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I can just tell by your selection. I can tell if you're a real hip-hop head. I can tell. But the realest hip-hop heads on radio is that Port Harcourt Rap Culture, LD. Mm. And funny enough, we used to be in the same group, SWAT Root.
Ah, really?
Yeah. We used to be in the same group, SWAT Root. And that was where I started my hip-hop, you know. I learned from the best. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they had already done rap videos before... Mm. I even started, you know, before I started recording, they had done rap videos. So I guess the LD and Co, they were more experienced than mm-hmm. me. Yeah.
Okay, so one thing I've always admired about Nigerians is you all are very, very proud. Like, I have met Nigerians, like second, third generation Nigerians in the States, and they will rep Niger to the fullest. And yes, so when it comes to hip hop, like more recently you had the This Is Nigeria kind of remake of the This Is America song.
Yeah. And guess what they did to that one?
What?
They canned it. They banned it.
I heard that. Yes. Yeah, I heard that.
They banned it. You see that, yeah, that other guy, that the guy that did the song, Files the Bad Guy, mm-hmm. yes, he is good. He talks about political issues and he's funny, you know, and he's intelligent.
Mm.
And his albums are really nice, you know. It's not boom bap,
mm-hmm.
but it is lyrical. It is a good representation of Nigerian hip hop.
Yeah. And so I think the first story I got, I was like surprised by, this was, I think, 2004, when the kind of the notorious fight between 50 Cent and Idris Abdul-Karim. Oh.
So the thing is, like, Idris was fighting for Nigerian artists.
Mm.
The mistake he made was 50 Cent was not, 50 Cent was not the enemy. He was fighting for the artist. Do you know what happened, right? The Nigerian brewery guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
They invite American artists and they treat Nigerian artists like crap.
Mm.
Crap. They treat you like... I've done Star Mega Jam shows before. I opened for Kanye West. Kanye West and his band, they had 8 tents. For the whole, all the Nigerian artists, they put us in one tent. Yeah.
Wow.
So the organizers are the ones that mess up. They treat us horribly, most of the organizers. So the fight was supposed to be, he was supposed to get 50 Cent to fight for us.
Mm.
But instead, this is what happened. The plane, right? They put Nigerian artists economy. They put the American artist first class.
Wow.
That's what happened, which is not really fair. We should all be treated like...
Yeah.
When Akon came to Nigeria, Akon said they put in the airport, right? They made Akon wait in the luxury waiting, you know, the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put the Nigerian artist in the economy with everybody, all the people traveling, we're just sitting down there. And guess what? Akon himself came up and was like, yo, where y'all at? Where y'all at? Why are you guys sitting down here? Come over here, man. Come on. Akon came himself to drag us to the VIP.
Wow.
And then he goes, and then the lady that brought Akon, she's kind of pissed off, you know? I'm not going to mention her name because we're cool now. She's kind of pissed off. And then Akon now further pisses her off and he goes, yo, order anything you want. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You guys might be the biggest stars. Order anything. It's on me. And we were ordering. We went in.
Wow. It
was me, Sasha, Sound Sultan, the Natives. Oh, it was P Square there. I think P Square was there. Yeah. P Square was there. And then, you know, and Akon, what he said made perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I guess the organizers always treat the artists, Nigerian artists, like crap.
Mm.
And that is why Idris went to go and sit in a VIP. Now, a lot of people say he fought 50 Cent. He did not have any interaction with 50 Cent.
Ah, he didn't.
50 Cent was not even on the plane.
Okay.
The altercation was with 50 Cent's bodyguards.
Ah, okay.
So okay. 50 Cent, a lot of people just blew it out of proportion. SOHH.com, they told one cock and bull story, blah, 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 blah. But 50 Cent wasn't on the plane. 50 Cent did not fight Idris. But Idris was fighting for the rights of Nigerian artists. Idris is a good friend of mine. I understand Idris is very, let's say he's very hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's very hardcore, but he fights the good fight.
Okay.
There's always a reason. It might seem like he's a villain saying certain things, being very outspoken, but there is always a reason. There's no smoke without fire.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
So I've kind of been, just started looking at some of the Nigerian artists, some of the African artists, period, in Nigeria, specifically the ones who were born in Nigeria and who kind of lived in Nigeria and so there. I mean, sorry. The ones who were born in the UK and who kind of born and raised there. And I was reading that it was African, I guess that second generation in England that were responsible for the development of grime music. And so I know younger folks would definitely understand grime, but I'm trying to wrap my head around what specifically is grime music in relation to hip hop music.
140 BPM, I shine. 140 BPM, that's grime. That's mine. Grime is usually 140 BPM, and they rap it double time. Yeah, I don't know why. Chip mentioned my name, but Devil Man's trying to get attention again. That is Skepta. When he had the diss track for a guy called Devil Man.
Ah, so
I'm the drum and bass father, strangled with an iPhone charger. You see, in grime, you can actually do it two different ways. You can actually rap really slow, and you can actually rap really fast. It's 140 BPM. It has a certain flow. And then when you see grime people in the club, they have a way that they bob to it.
Okay.
It's fun. Like, I personally like grime. I like grime. I think grime is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. Most of the guys that do grime can actually do hip hop. They're really good ones. Chipmunk, Skepta, all these guys are versatile. They can actually rap. Even one of my favorite, D-double-E. That's one of my favorite. Yeah. Lovely Jubbly.
And what about you? Have you ever thought about going into grime or doing a grime track?
I've actually done something close to it. Yeah, I had a song called Hard. I've forgotten it. You know what? I've forgotten it. But I had a song called Hard. It was a project that I did with Doc Def and Terry the Rap Man, but it didn't come out. So I had a song called Hard on that track. Now also, me and Terry also had a track called Wrong Number. And that was kind of like, the way I rhymed it was kind of like grimish.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a grime rapper. I'm not a grime rapper, but I'm versatile enough. I like some grime. I even wrote a couple of hooks, some grime hooks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm versatile like that. I can do a bit of raga, some dancehall, you know. And one of my grime hooks is, She want the construction worker. She want the construction worker. Take it to the top of the roof. And then America. She want the construction worker. She want the construction worker. See, that's the grind flow. And then the other one is coming at the dance like I'm Agent Smith. Black suit, black tie, jump out the big black. Woo! Salute to the General G. If the DJ don't play my shit, then he's a dead.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so the most recent project is Esoteric Mellow, which came out
May 31st. Yeah.
Okay, so now that's on. I saw it's on iTunes Store and a couple other online. Yes. So what's next? Since that just dropped, I mean, is it kind of now about promoting it? Is that what you're?
We have videos. Like right now, I was. There's a song on that album called Black Vampire. So what I was doing is that I was actually watching a movie before you called. And the name of the movie, I don't know if you've heard about, it's an old movie. It's called Blackula.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1973, yeah. Old movie. So I was watching that. And I just had an idea of just chopping some parts of that movie up.
Mm.
And putting the music of Black Vampire under.
Wow.
And putting it just to promote it. But we have a video. We have a video already ready. And then I actually did some minor internet videos, two of them. I did two internet videos just playfully. You know, I've edited them already. But the main video with me and Texzilla, when Texzilla came to London, that one is ready. That's what we're supposed to put that video out like next week, but I decided to hold it back and put some other stuff. I have a video of me and Rascals. I met Rascals in Berlin and Rascals was shouting Texzilla out. Rascals was shouting the name of the album out stuff. So I'll probably put all those little bits and pieces to promote. We're going to just promote it gradually. And I'll probably do like video clips for nearly all the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
The ones I can't shoot proper videos for, I'll just take movies and chop different things up, you know, do a little collage of visuals and then put the beat, you know, some fight scenes in some movies, some incredible fight scenes. You know, Barrio 13? There's a French movie called Barrio 13, B13.
Okay.
I'm going to chop the capoeira and Paco. You know about Paco?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, good. I'm going to chop the Paco of that movie up and then put it on one of the tracks and then just throw it out. Like, people, because we're in that age where people don't really want to listen too much. They want to see.
Yeah.
I think in Nigeria, if we're going to go anywhere with this hip-hop thing, we hip-hop heads, presenters, just people who work for agencies, advert agencies, and CEOs or whatnot, we need to just show more love to each other.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the music, because already, if it comes to talent, Nigeria has some of the most talented rappers.
Mm-hmm.
The major complaint is this. It's like, dude, I have these songs, but radio won't play my songs. They say my songs are too hardcore. They say they can't dance to my song. And they ask me for money. I don't have money to give anybody. So they're just there. But you know what I tell them? I say, you need to thank your stars that you came up in this era. In this era, you don't need anybody. All you need to do is put your songs on SoundCloud, push, be a pest online, shoot a video, put it on YouTube. Just post just be a pest on these platforms.
Yeah.
Just do that. A lot of young rappers and young people in the game, they get very salty when they ask me to do a collab. I can't do songs with everybody. I'm not in the business of doing songs with every single person who approaches me to do a song. You know, because I just checked the folder on my computer. There's a folder that says features. And I looked at all the features that I've done. And guess what? 10% of those features were released. Mm-hmm. And out of those 10%, probably 20% of those songs had videos. Out of 10%, 20% of that 10% had videos. So it's like they're trying to burn me out. I see as they're trying to burn me out.
Yeah.
I don't really want to do songs with everybody who asks me to do songs. Normally, if you contact me, you want to do a song with me, you have to pay me. Like if I go through my management, if I tell my lawyer to handle the business, he's going to just charge. But instead, I advise them. I say, listen, You need to. When I was coming up in the game, I didn't want to do songs with nobody. You can make it. You just need to believe in yourself, hone your art, get better at, you know, recording, performing, whatever you're doing, and just believe in yourself and do it. Go out and get what's yours. So yeah, that's just how it is. Enough respect to all those keeping it true in Nigeria. It is very difficult to survive doing hip hop in Nigeria. I'm not gonna lie. The journey has been really rocky, but this music thing is what I love. I love it to bits. That is why, that's what just makes me continue making it. I'm not making it because I'm looking at $1 million and something. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm making it because it's what I know how to do. I know how to do a few things very well, and this is one of them. It's at the top of the list.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me on this episode.
Yes. Thank you, too, for calling in and making me use my Skype again.
Smoke now, baby. Texilla on the beat. Can I bust? Let's go. Yo. Crisis music, weapons grade toolkit. I am the Illumin, I'm superhuman. I fireman carry my wounded, low bearing vest, surgically attached to my chest, no bullshit. Assassin utensils, fastened out of scrap metal. The first rebel survived past the last level. The concubines of the devil, laughing heckle, sucking my hairy pickle, massaging my testicles. She knows that I'm reputable, superhuman protector, truth and humanity. I protected her too. They don't deserve my verses, shameless sinners, curses, birth. I deserve to explore inner earth, sunrise when I emerge, brown dwarf, solar flare burst, cold air inverted on the surface, dawn till dusk, can I bust, breathe cosmic dust, my limestone lungs, can I rush, mode 9 to my left, mark these to my right, shoulder to shoulder, hold your position to fight, in the dark, Isle of War burns bright, we return at night, confirm the strike, night vision discerns light, the barbarians versus Christ, the last war's at hand, the soul's a man, a gourd in the sand, prepare for the Lord to land, volcanism is increased as we plan for a global expanse, evolution at a glance, last call, last chance to dance. The human being must die to advance. Crisis music, weapons grade toolkit. I am the Illumin, I'm superhuman. I'm a superhuman, I'm feeling so invincible, relying on the principles of everything I spit for you. Delivered Bruce Lee is still in action. You about to get your ass kicked, we make it a classic. I abide by the code of Hammurabi, scribbling rhymes in Akkadian. A knife for an eye, Babylon laws. Be careful not to cipher with the bad guys. Multiply, move like the Anunnaki. I'm cocky, coming around your girl like porno Bugattis. Black knocky, make a sucky ducky back wheeling. Red bone turning blue, must be the black feeling. Slash, superhuman, sexual healing. Without the white coat, clipboard, stethoscope, stethoscope. Without swearing a Hippocratic oath, I'm GOAT, you scapegoat. The Zayton, slap letters on your beef and put it in my bagel. Bad manners eating with my elbows on the table. I'm a problem with the lethal rhymes. Go search beyond the equal sign if you're looking for answers and free your mind. Can nobody beat the nine toting rebel with the missile? Got in my reputation with a shield gun. Pitch four, blaming a rubber green fifth lord, Sith lord, Darth Vader, with the mic laser, Pythagorean, Galilean, the stargazer, bar racer, put two in your big vest, break minds converge, setting off the big fest, mold mark and bis, too much to ingest, you are level one, we done saving the princess, hit you in your chin chest, kick you in your private region, don't rap with the legendary rhyme legion.